ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. 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 ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. 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 ಓಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. 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 ಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಓಂ When you say this mantra, the Narayana, this word Narayana involves two words. One is Naraha, another one is Ayanam. And from this two, using these two words, this word has been coined, Narayana has been coined. Naraha means Na Riyate. Iti Naraha. Riyate means destroys. Na Riyate means that which is not destroyed, that which is not destructible. Riyate means not destructible. No, be is destroyed. Na Riyate, that which is not destroyed, non destructible, indestructible. Therefore, naraha means na riyate iti naraha, that which is not destructible is naraha. In Sanskrit language, when you mean use the word person in English, person, the person, personalities are many, isn't it? How many persons are there? We count the personalities. And we say so many people are here, so many persons are here. Actually, the countable persons, in absolute sense, relatively we can say 4 plus 4 plus 8 plus 10 plus 15 persons are here, 15 people are here, we say. Absolutely, how many persons are there? Absolutely, only one person, isn't it? Purushaha. Person is only one. Personalities are many. So, that indestructible person is what? The absolute person is actually consciousness. So, Naraha implies absolutely indestructible reality is implied by the term Naraha, person, the person. Na riyate iti Naraha. No, then we have another word, ayanam. Ayanam, ayanam means, usually ayanam, as it is a noun gerund of the verb eti. Eti means gachati, goes. Ayanam means going, attaining, reaching. And if you take it as a noun, it is a destination. That which is to be attained is also ayanam. That which is to be reached, that which is to be attained, that which is to be arrived at finally is also called ayanam. So ayanam, even though literally as a gerund of the verb eti, it means reaching, arriving, going, etc. It implies what? The final destination. And then every human being in the only person, the one Atma, we are going to see the class today, the one Atma which is manifest in every mind is what actually? Every manifestation is actually the Naraha, isn't it? The manifestation of consciousness obtaining in every mind also is what? Actually, originally what? Naraha. Isn't it? Therefore, you say Naraha only. Every human, every manifestation being the manifestation of that original person, the indestructible reality, the consciousness. You say Naraha. And anything pertaining to Naraha is called a Naram. Anything pertaining to this indestructible reality, Naraha, is called Naram. So Naram means the whole universe also is called a Naram. Why it is called Naram? Because the universe is manifestation of that reality. Narasya ida narasya iti Naram. The universe is Naram. Physical body is Naram. Mind is Naram. Pleasure is Naram. Pain is Naram. Happiness is Naram. Existence is Naram. Why? Because anything pertaining to indestructible reality means. You can say everything is Naram. Isn't it? So Naram means happiness. But here we have to take it as Naram means happiness. Happiness means fullness. I explained to you in the class, isn't it? Fullness, happiness, love, beauty, all Naram. Then, Ayanam means what? Final destination. What is the final destination? What is that which is to be attained by every human mind? Finally, is happiness, fullness. Therefore, Narasya Ayanam, and that which is to be ultimately accomplished by every human mind, you know, I can say Narasya Ayanam or Narasya Ayanam. Narasya Ayanam means what? You know, or the happiness which is to be accomplished ultimately is Naraha, one meaning. Or you can say that which is to be ultimately accomplished by every human mind, or that discovering which finally the mind's quest for this knowledge, the thirst for knowledge gets quenched for good. That is Narayana. So we say Lord. One word means that which is to be ultimately, finally accomplished by a human mind in terms of discovery, and by discovering which the human mind thirst for knowledge, a search, a human search comes to an end. Therefore, why the search on the part of the human mind comes to an end means then the search will not be there anymore. After discovering which, the search will come to an end. That's called Narayanaha. The final destination of a human mind is Narayanaha. Okay? That's why it's one of the names of the Lord. That's why we say Narayana. That's why I always prefer taking small namas, names for chanting. Okay. Now we'll do the class. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Bhadram Kanne Bhishrunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashyema Kshabharya Jatraha Stirai Rangai Istushtu Vagam Sastanubihi Vyashema Devahi Tanyadayuhu Swastina Indro Vruddashravaha Swastinah Pusha Vishwavedaha Swastinastarkshyo Arishtanemihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. In order to produce the fire for performing a sacred Vedic ritual, one has to use the aranis, and the fire as it produced, the method of the production of the producing the fire is by churning the rod, the upper rod of Vedantic statements in the lower rod of lower arani of the mind. There you use it. But similarly here, in order for the knowledge to rise, the mind must be committed to the Vedanta study of the Shastram. Thereby, the Vedantic statements which reveal the Swarupam of the Jiva and the Ishvara, and that those Vedantic statements which serve as the upper aranihi in the mind, which is totally committed to the mind, which is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and thereby totally committed to the study of the Shastram, is like the lower arani. And the upper arani is like what? The Vedantic statements are like the upper arani. And repeatedly the churning of that upper arani in the lower arani is like repeatedly analyzing those Vedantic statements, is like the churning. And such churning, repeated analysis of the Vedantic statements, unfoldment of the Vedantic statements as unfolded by the teacher, as unfolded in the Shastra, isn't it? And that will result in the sparks of fire, and which fire has to be, which have carefully protected without getting put off. And how? Again through mananam and nididhyasanam. And that is how that small spark of fire becomes a huge conflagration of the fire, and which is like a clear, unforgettable vision. And just as fire is capable of destroying the fuel, the spark of fire produced, and how protected with what? Protected with the dry gauze, a dry coir. And similarly, this spark of knowledge which is risen in the mind also, which is protected with the total commit, with the dispassion, and which means with further contemplation, that contemplation and nimananam or even reflection, it will be possible only if you are blessed with adequate dispassion. Therefore, with all those, the qualification required for that, when you protect it, and that fire really becomes, the fire of knowledge becomes a huge conflagration of fire, that is fire of unforgettable, clear, ascertained vision, and that vision is capable of destroying the samsara. Like the fire destroys the fuel in the Agni Kunda, similarly, this fire of knowledge also is capable of destroying samsara. This is said in the one verse, and later on, the next mantra, this enquiry, the self-enquiry should always be based on Vedanta Shastram, which means one should not do self-enquiry by oneself. The self-enquiry must be based on Vedanta Shastram only. And how the self-enquiry must be conducted, the method of self-enquiry is revealed in these verses. It is a sample of the method of self-inquiry. How self-inquiry should be conducted is said here, and which we saw, but it was not very clear yesterday. So today, I just make it very, very clear. And in verse number 6, in mantra number 6, don't worry about mantra now, you may not remember. In mantra number 6, the same Upanishad presents the nature of the reality, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, and which is all of the nature of all pervasiveness. That reality is consciousness. And that consciousness is the pure consciousness, is one, indivisible, undivided, partless, all-pervasive, formless reality. And that consciousness is implied by the term Atma. In fact, the word Atma does not directly indicate the reality. Like when you say mic, it directly indicates. Isn't it? Paper, it indicates. Computer, it indicates. Atma does not indicate, it implies. How does it imply? No, what is Atma if you say? Atma is that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. So unless so all pervasiveness is the swarupam, nature, so you have to understand what is implied by the term Atma. You have to understand it. How? In terms of its nature. And the nature is revealed by the word. So Atma itself is what? Apnoti sarvam iti Atma. That which pervades everything is Atma. Therefore, it is consciousness. Doesn't indicate directly consciousness. Doesn't show you consciousness like an object, isn't it? It's why Atma itself implies the swarupam of the reality being consciousness. So now this consciousness is all-pervasive, formless, only reality. Which means there is no second thing other than the reality. There is no second reality other than consciousness. And here it is said, and how the analysis has to be made, they said here first, that Atma alone, there is no second thing. Therefore, Atma alone. What was there? Atma alone was there. How is it said? Other Upanishad, Sadeva Saumya Idam Agre Asit. What was there before? Sat alone was. Nothing else was. Like that here also, Sahayeva means that Atma alone was. And that Atma, as I told you, that Atma alone, being endowed with two different, upadis. That Atma, when it is manifest in an inferior upadi, nikrishta upadihi, it gets the status of being a jivaha. And the same Atma, when it is manifest in Utkrishta Upadhi, a superior Upadhi, an exalted Upadhi, it gets the status of being Parama Atma, or you can say Paramaha. It is called Jivaha and Paramaha. So, the same Atma gets the status, Jiva status and Parama status, because of its manifestation in two different media. Which means, here, the difference is dependent on manifestation No, the manifestation, even though Atma is one, that only Atma is one, but manifestations can be many. Atma is one, but all the manifestations are not the same. Is it clear? Why? Manifestations, Atma is one. But manifestations are also of the same Atma, but the difference in manifestation is not because of the manifestation. The difference is manifestation is caused by the difference in the upadis, difference in the manifesting media. The difference is dependent on the nature or condition of the reflecting, manifesting medium. Is it clear? I'll give you an example here. Suppose if there is electricity, and last year I was here, we were walking on the road, we saw many small bulbs all over decorations on the roadside, isn't it? And small bulbs were all really glowing very well. Very look very nice. And then this on at the same time, I also saw the big street lights with the big bulbs. And there was also light. And here, the light is, light looked dim. And there's also bright light, there's also dim light. The dimness and the brightness of light is dependent on, is based on the difference in the manifesting media, the bulbs, but there's no difference in electricity. Is it? The electricity is one and the same, and when it passes through two different media, okay, and the manifestations are also what now? Different. There's no difference in electricity. Is it clear? The same way, sitting here, if I can see my face in two different mirrors in front of me, if there is a concave and convex mirrors, I can see, even though I'm so plump on the ends, still I can see my long, thin face in one mirror. I can see flat, fat, you know, flattened, fat, plump face in another mirror, and the two different reflections, and those reflections are caused, now the difference in reflections are caused by the difference in the nature of the reflecting media. Is it clear? Therefore, but actually, even though both the reflections are of the one and the same face, but the difference is because of the difference in reflecting media. Is it clear? The same way here, we say, this same Atma, Sahayeva Atma, when it is manifest in Nikrishta inferior upadihi, you know, Shariratrayam. Shariratrayam is body, mind, sense complex. No? Then it is inferior. It gets the name Jivaha. The same Atma when it is manifest in Utkrishta upadihi, the Samashti upadihi, Vyashti upadihi, individual body mentions complex. And the same Atma manifest in Samashti upadihi. Samashti means what? The total form, it gets the name Paramaha. Like how the water, the H2O, related to one single form, gets the name wave, the same water associated with the total form gets the name ocean. Therefore, similarly here is difference is only in Namarupa. Difference is only in the reflecting, manifesting medium or reflecting medium, most I prefer using the word manifestation than the word reflection. For example, when I use the word mirror, I use the term reflection. Otherwise, I prefer, whenever I mean the word consciousness, I prefer using the adjective manifestation, not reflection. Okay? So, I say manifest through or manifest in a given medium, in keeping with the condition or the nature of the medium. Now, the manifestation also, there's difference in manifestation. Is it clear? Now here, so what is, then what happens? Then one becomes, when this, the consciousness, Atma, the consciousness is manifest in this total upadhi, prapanchatrayam. No, the threefold. Prapanchatrayam means the subtle universe, gross universe, unmanifest universe. The total cosmos, when you say, it gets the name what now? Ishwaraha, the Lord. We say Swami, the Master, the Lord. And the same, and also what, how do you say it? Karanam. Is the cause of everything. Who is the Lord? The cause of everything. So, this Atma gets the status of being the Master, Swami status. Atma gets the status of being the Lord, okay, Ishvara status. Atma gets the status of being the cause, Karanam, causal, Karanam status, okay, status of being the cause. And this status comes to Atma when its manifestation is, no, when it's associated with the manifesting medium, the big upadhi. Is it clear? The same Atma gets the status of being the jivaha, an individual jivaha, or you can say bhritya, bhritya status, dasaha. Dasa means servant, the status of being the servant of the Lord. The servant status, bhritya status, dasa status, and the status of being the effect, karyam status, jiva status. This status comes to the Atma when? Because of the manifestation in a nirkrishta upadhi of inferior order. Is it clear? That is, the difference is purely in upadhis. It's called what? Aupadika Vedaha. Yesterday I mentioned this word. Now what you do? You see the, when you associate water with a small form, it gets the name wave. When you associate the same water with the big whole total form, it gets the name ocean. Now, cognitively, then what happens? Then the ocean has the status of being the cause, and the wave, as a wave, it gets the status of being the effect. The water gets the status of being the cause as an ocean. The same water gets the status of being an effect as a wave. Which means, now you have to think here and give the answer. From the standpoint of water, is water the cause? Water associated with the form ocean gets the status of being the cause. The same water associated with the form wave gets the status of being an effect. But as water by itself, is it the cause or is it an effect? Water by itself. From the standpoint of water, as water by itself is neither the cause nor the effect. water by itself is neither the cause nor the effect. Water is water. Is it clear? If cause is water, the effect is water. Ocean is water, wave is water. But water is neither the ocean nor the wave. Therefore, water is neither the cause nor the effect. Hope you understand it. Got it? Similarly here, we have to understand. So, this electricity is neither the dim light nor the bright light. So, brightness and dimness do not belong to the electricity. Dimness and brightness are, what is responsible for dimness and brightness? They belong to the medium, the bulbs. Is it clear? So here are similarly, this superiority or inferiority belong to the upadis, the manifesting medium. But superiority, that inferiority do not belong to Atma, the consciousness. So Atma, the consciousness by itself, is neither Swami nor Dasa, neither the master nor the servant, neither the cause nor the effect, neither, is it clear, inferior nor superior. Atma, the consciousness, is not anything. Is it clear? Atma is free from all this. But the master is consciousness, servant is consciousness, Swamihi, Vrityaha, Karanam, Karyam. All these are what actually? Atma. Is it clear? Therefore, this is what we have, this is how the analysis is made. Atma is neither the Jivaha nor Paramaha. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. Atma is neither superior nor inferior. Atma is Atma. This is how analysis is made. So first, always, how the Atma becomes the Jiva, Jivatvam, how does Atma attain the status of being the Jivaha? Understand? That is discussed first. Then how do we see Atma enjoying the status of being the Lord? Once you understand these two analyses, and you will arrive at the conclusion, this difference is only from the standpoint of the manifesting media. The standpoint of Atma, there is non-difference. Therefore, you can appreciate the relative, empirical, superficial differences, and you can, in spite of the superficial difference, you can appreciate the absolute non-difference. Now, I think I have made it very clear today. Now, we'll read that now. What we did yesterday, we are going to redo the verses today, okay? Saeva maya parimohita atma Why I am teaching is very important. That's why you could never forget this from this Kaivalya Upanishad. Saeva maya parimohita atma Shariramasthaya Karoti sarvam स्त्री अन्नपानादि विचित्र भोगैः स एव जाग्रत् परितृप्तिमेति परितृप्तिमेति सह एव मीन्स द वर्ड आत्मा इज नॉट इम्प्लाइड ही मेंट हियर वी हैड सह इज मीन्स दैट दैट आत्मा that all pervasive formless only reality atma secondless reality atma non dual atma alone eva maya parimohita atma bhavati when it is manifest in Until manifestation, Atma, is it? When it is manifest in the Upadhi, when it is manifest in Upadhi, this Shariratriyam, human body, mind, sense complex, is it? When manifest in this Upadhi, then what happens? Parimohitaha bhavati. Parimohita means what? Totally becomes deluded. Manifest means where? Where does Atma, the consciousness, manifest? If you ask me, where is Atma? What will be your answer? Where is Atma? All pervasive. But is it manifest everywhere? No. If it is manifest, isn't Atma is everywhere, but where is it manifest? It is not manifest. In some places it is manifest, in some places it is not manifest. That is why we are not able to understand, isn't it? Atma is all pervasive. The very word Atma tells what? All pervasive. When you already say Atma is all pervasive, the reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. That is why it is implied by the term Atma means, and why the very question is wrong. Where is Atma? Even the very question is wrong. It's already understood. What is this? Everywhere. So where is Atma means where it is not. Isn't it? There's no place where it is not. Atma is everywhere. All pervasive. Spatial limitless. And when is it? Always it is. So no second it goes and comes back. There's no time. Atma just goes for rest and comes back. No. Always it is there. That's why time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, which means Atma is always everywhere, in everything. But where is it manifest? That is the question should come, isn't it? It is manifest. Where is it manifest? In the mind. Okay? The human mind is, see, I can tell you, Atma is there everywhere. It is manifest in Atma being present. The presence of Atma in the form of existence of everything cannot be appreciated if Atma consciousness is not manifest. Okay? The presence of consciousness as existence of everything cannot be appreciated. Okay, it's not available for understanding, but because it is not available for recognition, you cannot say consciousness is not there. Everywhere it is not available for recognition. And in living beings, in non-living things, the existence of presence of consciousness in the form of existence of everything, no. Even though it is there as existence, but still it is non-recognizable. But in living beings, you can appreciate the presence of consciousness. How can you recognize even then? In all the living beings, you can appreciate the presence of consciousness, existence of consciousness, as very existence of it, and also you can appreciate How is it available in all the living beings? Consciousness being manifest can be understood. In living beings alone, consciousness being manifest can be understood. In non-living things, consciousness being manifest cannot be understood. Is it clear? And in living beings, how do you understand? In living beings also, in keeping with the upadhis, all the living beings, in keeping with the condition of upadhis, is it clear? And then the manifestation also, what now? Differs. I told you already, dimness of light and brightness of light is dependent on the manifesting bulbs, not, it does not dependent on the electricity. Is it clear? Similarly here, in some living, all the living beings, plants, they, even any living being, whether it's an ant or a mosquito or a cockroach or a lizard or an elephant or a buffalo or a kangaroo or any other animal, any other living being or any other plant, okay, in all these living beings, we can understand consciousness being manifest. We can appreciate consciousness being manifest. But in non-living things, we cannot appreciate the consciousness being manifest. Is it clear? But even in other living beings, how do you see the consciousness being manifest? Understand, consciousness is manifest as the knowledge. All the living beings, how is consciousness manifest? Consciousness is manifest as the knowledge in all the living beings. And not only in all the living beings, you include, when you say living beings, include your physical body also. Your physical body is also what? A living beings, a living, the body of a living being. So just whether it is your physical body or it is the physical body of any other living being, whether it is an animal's body or a plant shariram, plant's body, everywhere you can understand consciousness being manifest as knowledge. But you cannot understand what the consciousness is, what the consciousness is, which is manifest as knowledge. How much you can understand? You cannot understand consciousness as consciousness, but you can understand consciousness being manifest as knowledge in all the living beings, including your own system. Hope you understand this. I'll let you know. Okay. In non-living things, we cannot appreciate. It is not easy to, it is not possible for us to understand the presence of consciousness in non-living things. But when you really study Shastram clearly, understand consciousness being manifest in the form of the very existence of the object. But in living beings, how do we appreciate consciousness being manifest as knowledge? So wherever, when we see something, When we take something as a living being, it can be a plant or an animal, and you see the life in all the beings. From there, I'm going to come to human mind finally, okay? You see the, where you see the life, you see the functions. Wherever there is a life, there are functions, subtle functions happening. Without the subtle functions happening, there cannot be a life. It can be a plant or an animal or a small insect, a tiny little amoeba, a paramecium, even a, you know, human body. Wherever you see life, because you also see the dead body, isn't it? I'm seeing a life. Wherever you see a living form, and there you see there are functions. And wherever there are functions happening, and functions imply what? Knowledge being involved, isn't it? There is knowledge involved. All the functions happen within the realm of an order. Wherever you see the life, there are functions, and wherever you see functions, those functions are the backed by what? Now functions are happening, what? They involve the order. There's no function which happens without involving an order. Is it clear? You have to come. And wherever there is an order involved, that order is backed by knowledge. Without the knowledge, there cannot be an order. Without the order, there cannot be functions. Without the functions, there cannot be life. How do you say this? Because without being taught by anybody, every living being lives its own life. Your big spiders, Australian spiders are very known spiders. And these spiders create their own web. They live the spider's life. For a spider to live spider's life, it does not go out for knowledge. No animal goes out for knowledge. How to live my life? Only we need courses. A cow or a monkey or an animal, no animal ever, or a bird. All the birds live their lives. Frogs live their lives. All the animals live their lives. Plants live their lives. A plant lives a plant life. An animal lives an animal life. A frog lives a frog's life. Caterpillar lives its own life, isn't it? Insect lives insect's life. Every tiny ant lives its own ant's life. To live its life, it is blessed with adequate knowledge. You can't expect an ant to live more than how it lives. You don't compare. Look at the monkey, how it is jumping. Isn't it? We don't compare because, monkey means monkey lives its monkey's life. So every animal is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. Without being taught by others, it lives its life. Who teaches? You see how the birds go out and collect their things and then how they build their nest. How the spider creates its web and it knows how to get its food. And knows how to, how to get its food. The most amazing, tiniest being is ant. How wherever you go and hide your sugar box, it can make out. It does not ask you, where is the sugar? Did you keep? You have to hide your chocolate box from your children. But ants, you cannot, they know how to get it. Who teaches? They make out, which means that knowledge, they live their lives. You don't see the knowledge in every animal through physical eyes. You cannot see the knowledge required to live their own lives through physical eyes. But you do understand the knowledge and all the beings being blessed with adequate knowledge to live their lives. Is it clear? And similarly, you take their own system, whether it's a plant physiology or an animal physiology or your own human physiology, you take all these functions, every organ functions, and every function within the realm of an order. That is why, and then there is any disorder is correctable. That is why many departments, medical, you know, survive. Because they know the order, they understand. When there's disorder, they're able to correct it. Isn't it? So the heart functions, lungs function, your intestines function, all your glands function, all the functions, all they're all functioning. And which organ goes out for knowledge? Heart does not stop. Come on, I have some problem. We call our plumbers. We call our masons. We had to call the people always for help. But which organ calls for help, asks for help? Heart functions. No? This is how I had to keep on pumping. Who tells the heart to keep on pumping? Who tells the lungs to expand and contract? Who tells? Understand what I'm saying? Which means every organ keeps on functioning correctly. That is why wherever you see life, there are functions, and each function happens. That means, that function is within the realm of an order, and that order is backed by knowledge. That knowledge I do not see through physical eyes, but I can understand knowledge being manifest in my heart, in my lungs, in my kidneys, in my whole system. The whole physical body, what is it? All the physiological functions is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. So, this consciousness is manifest as knowledge backing the order involved in the functions of all the living beings, all the living forms. And as you see, now you tell me where you do not see. When you see a plant, when you see a tree, when you see a small ant, a small animal, in every living being, wherever you see life, you see what? You see Bhagavan there, Ishvara, being manifest as order. So knowledge is manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, the order backed by that knowledge also is manifestation of Ishvara, Bhagavan. And you also see the functions are manifestations of Ishvara. The life is manifestation of Ishvara. A living being is manifestation of Ishvara. Is it clear now? Similarly, this is how you appreciate the reality, the consciousness being manifest as the knowledge backing the order. Thereby manifest as what? The functions, the order, the life, and all the beings. So in different manifesting media, so in heart, in the whole body, consciousness is, of course, all pervasive. It always present. Everything exists in consciousness. It is manifest. This much alone you can understand. But human mind, now come to the mind. The mind which is associated with this heart, the heart which is associated with the body, isn't it? Therefore, the mind, the sense powers, and the whole physical body, this we say karya karana sanghataha, means the body, mind, sense complex. The whole thing, we take it together as one manifesting medium. Even though we talk about the whole thing, actually, it is manifest in human mind. Only in human mind, highest form of manifestation of consciousness is. Is it clear? Because all other human shariram, human body is a manifesting medium, but still how much is manifest in the physical body? Only as knowledge. You can only appreciate consciousness being manifest as the knowledge backing the order involved in the functions. So also the same thing you can appreciate in any other living being. But the human mind is the most sophisticated of all the material manifestations. Okay, and that is where highest form of manifestation is what? Aham. I am. I am. I, then add am. And no other animal, there is no such instrument called mind manifest. That's why animals don't have the knowledge I am, because an upadhi is not there. That sophistication of the upadhi is not there. Their water, all the, that's why, no? Even though they're, I told you in the class, they're all this triyak jantavaha, triyang, no? The horizontally growing animals. Even then, they also have the physiological functions, and we are vertical beings. We also have functions, but everywhere, like your physical form, like any other physical form, you can appreciate consciousness being manifest as knowledge. Without being taught by me, instructed by me, all the functions are happening. Kidney functions without asking me. Can I go for a holiday? Doesn't ask, isn't it? Which means, who is telling? Who is instructing? Okay, I can understand. But only in the mind. What is that knowledge? I then am. Is it clear? That is this. Mind, human mind is the very special manifesting medium where consciousness is manifest as aham. Now we say, hey, therefore, this is the human mind. And this mind is what inseparable from the whole system. We say the whole shariratrayam, we say. Shariratrayam means the gross body, subtle body and causal body. Don't get confused, think about causal body now. Just take it body, mind, sense complex. It is enough this much. So it is manifest. And when it is manifest, the manifesting medium and the manifestation. Now take only the mind and consciousness. The manifesting medium and the manifestation are inseparably one. Like what? When the manifestation happens, how the delusion happens? Parimohitatma, the mind gets deluded. The manifestation happens. What is this manifestation? Every manifestation is of the consciousness, isn't it? How many ever manifesting media are, every manifestation is of the original consciousness, pure consciousness. But the manifestation and the manifesting medium, the mind, are inseparable. That is why in Drishya Viveka class, I said, Tapta Ayav Pindavadu. No? The inseparable, like the heated iron ball, hot, brilliant iron ball. Inseparable. Like how your reflection of the face, your face, and the reflecting medium, the mirror, are inseparable. Can you separate them? No. Similarly, the reflection is inseparable from the reflecting medium. Manifestation is inseparable from the manifesting medium. Therefore, because of the proximity, because of the closeness, because of the inseparability, what happens? Now, the manifestation, okay, the manifestation, there is confusion comes in because of the inseparable closeness. The manifestation is identified with the manifesting medium. The manifestation should be identified with the original consciousness or with the manifesting medium. When you see your face in a conclave mirror and your face now looks funny, and how should you, there, that reflection, no, should be identified with the face or with the mirror. When you simply, okay, you see your mirror, face in your mirror, reflection of your face in the mirror. That reflection, will you see that reflection of your face? No? How will you see it? You will say that that reflection is this face. Will you say that, or that reflection is that mirror? The even though reflection of the face and the reflecting medium mirror are inseparable, they're inseparable, but still physically inseparable, but intellectually, cognitively, you can separate the reflection from the mirror and you can say that reflection is this face. This face is not that reflection, but that reflection is this face. Is it clear? This intercognitive separation of reflection of your face from the reflecting medium mirror and identifying that reflection with the original face is what? Right identity. Till now it's here, clear. Otherwise, you can think that reflected face and the reflecting medium mirror, because they're inseparable physically, I identify that reflected face, identify that, that gets identified with the mirror, means all the reflecting medium's problems become the problems of the reflection. Is it clear? Hope you understand this. I'm very slowly taking, because nobody else really talks about this manifestation correctly. They all confuse. Because you cannot understand. See, you can consciousness is not recognizable as consciousness anywhere except the mind. Only in the mind it is recognizable. Understand? Not anywhere else. Everywhere you can appreciate as what? As the manifest knowledge. Is it clear? That is why I include your physical function also as in that. I include that. You understand? I just show you how it is manifest. But here, therefore, now this manifest consciousness here in human mind as manifest as what? I am. So, I, the manifest consciousness, am Atma, the pure consciousness. Or you can say what? I am Atma. I am Brahma. If you say, suppose imagine, if the reflected face happens to talk, you say what? I, the reflection, am the original face. If it says, it has right identity. I am the mirror. If it says, it is wrong identity. Is it clear? Same way, first this I am is fine. I am itself is what? Manifestation of consciousness. Whenever you say manifestation of consciousness, it implies two things. What is that? Without the consciousness, there cannot be manifestation of consciousness, isn't it? And without the manifesting medium also, there cannot be manifestation of consciousness. So I am means what? It involves two aspects. Consciousness plus manifesting medium, the thought. Without the thought, the manifesting medium, there cannot be manifestation. Without the consciousness also, there cannot be manifestation. Therefore, we say this consciousness manifest only in human mind is manifest as I am. Nowhere, not in any other being. And this I am should be identified with what? What is I am? I am is not pure consciousness. Look at this. Pure consciousness is not I am. Mere vritti, thought also is not I am. Is it clear or not? When you say I am, what it is? What is it? I am means thought plus manifest consciousness plus manifesting medium thought is equal to what? I am, which is knowledge. Understand? Knowledge, I am. So what it... Okay, so you can say consciousness plus thought, manifesting medium, is equal to manifestation of consciousness or manifest consciousness or knowledge. It is called vritti jnanam. Knowledge in the form of a thought. Is it clear? If you understand the one thing today, I don't mind wasting. It's not waste of time. Because this is the crux thing, teaching. Because people talk manifestation. This is the important thing. Understand? Because you don't need to worry about anything else. Because all that, this one particular vritti in human mind, you know, of course there are many thoughts, but one particular thought which is actually source of the all other thoughts. The source of all other thoughts, isn't it? This one thought first we say. You can say the mind or in fact a thought. This thought is the manifesting medium. And consciousness is always everywhere. When the thought comes, then there is manifestation of consciousness. Thought goes, consciousness is consciousness. And that's why we say, actually speaking, that the manifest consciousness is recognizable, accessible. Pure consciousness is non-accessible, non-transactable. Is it clear? I'm going to the whole analysis. Before I go to the analysis, I want to make this particular aspect clear, then I want to continue the whole thing. Yesterday I just jumped. I did quickly. You know, but I want to really tell you what it means by saying manifestation. Only human mind you have to understand. We don't need to think about how it is manifest in total. You don't need to work about it. Work. This itself is clear. This itself will make that clear. You can understand only using your mind. In your own mind you have to arrive at consciousness. So what do you mean by manifestation of consciousness and the manifesting medium? I said consciousness is manifest, consciousness is always everywhere, consciousness being manifest in all the living beings can be understood. When in all other living beings, consciousness manifests as knowledge. But where can you recognize consciousness only in your own mind as the truth of very I am? That's what the scriptures say. Therefore, here we say, what is the difference? If the consciousness is always everywhere, and how does it get the qualification as the manifest consciousness? And why do you say pure consciousness? There is just consciousness. There's neither pure consciousness, nor is there manifest consciousness. It is like this. The light is not neither pure light nor reflected light. Light is just the light. In the presence of the opaque, the light gets the qualification as the reflected light. If you take the opaque thing away, there is just the light, isn't it? We call it pure light. So light is there. So in keeping with the presence or absence of the opaque things, light gets the qualifications, pure light and reflected light. Similarly, in the presence of thought, light is, consciousness is, in the presence of the thought, any material thing, it is manifest consciousness. The thought resolves, it is pure consciousness. Thought is manifest consciousness. Thought resolves, pure consciousness. Thought is manifest consciousness. Thought resolves, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is non-accessible, non-transactable. Manifest consciousness is transactable, recognizable, accessible. The thought comes in waking state, I am. The thought comes and there is manifestation of consciousness. Thought goes, consciousness goes or what? Consciousness cannot go, isn't it? Consciousness is all there, but it is non-recognizable. Why? Manifesting medium is not there. It is resolved. In deep sleep state, you are or not? You are means what? The knowledge I am, is it? Which is manifestation of knowledge. That is what is resolved. Why? The thought is resolved. There is no thought. Therefore, we have to understand one thing. The consciousness, even though it is, we call it consciousness, is independent reality. That is why we call it reality. Consciousness is independent of the material thought, the thought which is subtlest product of the matter. Consciousness is dependent on thought for its manifestation. In fact, consciousness is dependent on the matter for its manifestation. Whereas matter or the thought is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. Like light is not dependent on the opaque to come to light, independently shining. But the light, to be recognized, it needs to, what now? An opaque thing. Is it clear? Similarly, in a way, the opaque thing is dependent on light for its very existence in terms of shining. I hope this is very clear. Therefore, the thought, now this thought, where does consciousness, where is the highest form of manifestation of consciousness? We say human mind. And even human mind, where? Aham vritti. Okay? The thought, I thought, is it the thought? The particular thought is, then there is manifestation. I am. Now we have to what do now? Now, therefore, manifestation of consciousness means, now it is very clear, it is not just the consciousness alone. There cannot be the manifestation without the manifesting medium, the material vritti, and there cannot be vritti without the consciousness. So manifestation always implies what? Two aspects. Okay, whether it's matter is manifest or material, you say the whole universe is material manifestation, which means you cannot talk about the existence of, you know, the material universe without the consciousness. Is it clear? Yeah. And similarly, consciousness also cannot be recognized without its manifestation. That is why you have to remember this fact, consciousness is dependent on matter or material products or material mind for its manifestation. Subtle aspects, okay? Whereas matter is dependent on consciousness for its very existence. Now, when you say I am, it is what? The manifest consciousness, or you can say consciousness plus thought. From the standpoint of the thought, the consciousness gets the name manifest. Really speaking, there's no really manifestation of manifest consciousness, just consciousness. The recognizable consciousness is what? Manifest consciousness. Non-recognizable is what? Pure consciousness. Is it clear? That's really speaking, there's no such a thing called manifestation at all. Where is the manifestation? In the presence of mind, reflected light. Is something called reflected light separately sitting? No. In the presence of the mic, the light gets the qualification reflected. There's no, actually, you remove the mic, the qualification goes, light continues to be the light. Similarly, in the presence of thought, we say manifestation. Thought goes, still there is consciousness. Same consciousness. In the presence of mic, opaque thing, same light exists. In the absence of mic, same light exists. Light does not come, light does not go, but these names are given to light. Pure light, reflected light. In keeping with the presence and absence of the opaque thing. Similarly, the consciousness is the same. Atma is one and the same. It gets the name what? Manifest consciousness. What is manifest consciousness? In the presence of the mind, thoughts manifest consciousness. Thoughts resolve? Just the consciousness. Does consciousness go somewhere? No. But when it is non-recognizable, as though it has gone. When it is recognizable, as though it has come. When the thought comes, as though consciousness has come back. When the thought goes, as though consciousness has gone somewhere. My God, we just take it, isn't it? Now we'll come to the lesson. What is this? See, this much I had to tell you. Now, what is this manifestation? Because of the inseparability of the manifesting medium, thought and the consciousness, like there's no distance between my opaque and the light. There's no distance between fire and the heated iron ball. There's no distance between mirror and the reflected face. There's no distance between consciousness and the thought. Therefore, what happens? This manifest consciousness. Okay? It's not just one, is it? Therefore, what happens is identified with the manifesting medium, the thought, the mind. Why? Because the knowledge has risen. Naturally, this much is high, this much already Bhagavan has worked for you. The order itself has supported you this much. I am. So Bhagavan wants us to work little more. I am consciousness, the all-pervasive reality, manifest in the mind that we cannot, isn't it? We are not able to see. This is the made it man. Understand? This is not, we are not able to see this. This is called Ardha Ajnanam, Ardha Bodha. Your half knowledge, partial knowledge. Therefore, what happened? You mistake it. And this not knowing what I am, not knowing this manifestation is nothing but pure consciousness. That knowledge is not there. Therefore, what happens? Delusion comes. That is what? Avidya means ignorance. And the I am is fine, but what I am is not there, not known. And that is what here. And that difference. Therefore, we say avidya. Avidya is maya here. See, the mayaya. And that itself is what? Mayaya parimohita atma. The word atma here means the mind. How one, the mind, becomes a deluded mind. Deluded means lacking, the mind which lacks the discriminative knowledge of what this manifestation is, what the manifesting medium is. Okay? This is called lack of discriminative knowledge. Okay? It's called, there's not discriminative knowledge. Delusion means what? Lack of discriminative knowledge. Therefore, because the lack of discriminative knowledge, that is called delusion. And delusion also is what? There in the mind. Isn't it? It is parimohitatma. This saha, that atma, all pervasive reality, consciousness, manifest in this body, mind, sense complex. No, this karana sanghata, this human upadhi, which is especially in the mind, when it is manifest. And by manifesting in the mind, through the mind, it also is manifest where? You know, in the sense powers. Isn't it? It illumines. And it is being manifest there. Then what happens? Being deluded. Deluded by ignorance. Maya. Maya parimohitatma. Then what happens? Once the delusion comes because of the lack of discriminative knowledge, it, what happens? Shariram asthaya. Shariram asthaya means having the eye sense. Shariram asthaya means having the eye sense in the mind, having the eye, identifying itself with the mind, and thereby having identity with the everything, pranas, having identity with the physical body, and it has identity with the everything that is associated with the mind. This is called shariram asthaya. Having eye sense in the body, mind, sense complex means first having identity with the mind, not sequentially, simultaneous, isn't it? Having wrong identity, identifying itself with the reflect manifesting medium, instead of identifying itself with the consciousness, identifying itself with the manifesting medium, having become manifest in the mind, instead of having identity with the consciousness, having identity with the mind and being deluded, not seeing what is what and having wrong identity here with what? The entire body, mind, sense complex. Sariram asthaya means having I sense in the body, mind, sense complex. Then what choice does it have? And it becomes the performer of all actions. It becomes the performer means what? It has the status of being the doer. The doer status comes. The Sahayeva Atma, that consciousness manifest in human upadhi, identifying with the human upadhi, identified with the human upadhi and being deluded. Deluded means what? Mistaking the manifesting medium for the self. Then what happens? Then it also develops all wrong notions about the self. And the first thing is what? I am the doer. And with this notion, it involves what now? All forms of actions. What is that who has this doership? One who performs these actions. What actions? Vaidikam karma, sacred activities, secular activities, mundane activities, nitya karma, naimittikam karma, nishiddha karma, all forms of karma. All forms of karma one performs. All that you do, physically, orally, mentally, sensorily, whatever you do, all those become what? Actions. And here the question should come, how does the jiva get the doership? Because of the notion, I am the doer. Why the notion comes? Because of the identity. It's okay, fine. But even the identity, why does it do? First of all, how the actions come? How does it become the performer of actions? And here comes, once the wrong identity is there, and because of the wrong identity, that wrong identity is called what? Erroneous self-perception, adhyasaha. Okay, ajnanam leads to adhyasa. And because of this adhyasaha, this erroneous self-perception, what happens? All the limitations and the problems of the manifesting medium become the problems of the manifestation. Really, they are not. The problems of the mirror never become the problems of the reflection. But still, if you mistake, even you see your face in the mirror, if you see that reflection, if the reflection is identified with the mirror, when the mirror breaks, when the mirror cracks, or the mirror has something goes, now whatever happens in the mirror, you take all those things happen for the reflection. Is it clear? Similarly here also, the body's problems, the body's limitations, and then the problems of the mind, problems of sense organs, problems of the physiological functions, all the limitations, all the problems pertaining to the material body mind sense complex are superimposed upon the Atma. Why? Because I am the body mind sense complex. We have strong I sense in the body. It's because of the wrong identity. Because of the inseparable closeness. And it is like how, instead of saying, I am consciousness obtaining in this body, mind, sense complex, what do we say? I am the body, mind, sense complex having consciousness. Other two are something you don't know. And the body mind is complex. It is typically like the person who indwells the home saying, I am the house. Are you the house? Are you griham? No, tvam griham va or grihastaha va? Are you the grihastaha? Are you the one who resides in the house? Are you the very house? It is like saying, you are very clear, I am the resident of the house. No, I am not the house, you know, say very well. But here, when you say, I am, when you talk, all your problems are because of, like saying, identity. Is it clear? And this is called superimposition of the limitations of the body-mind's complex. For the manifesting medium, the body-mind's complex, the upadhihi, shariratrayam, is called what? Anatma. Is it clear? Everything other than Atma is Anatma only. So Anatma's problems, the upadhi's problems, manifesting medium's problems are taken to be the problems of the manifestation. Therefore, now when you mistake, what happens? Then you have the wrong notion. So here, therefore, when you say that, then all because the limitations, what now? It's called adhyaropaha. So ajnanam leads to adhyasa, adhyasa leads to adhyaropa. And because of adhyaropa, and you become what? You have the notion about yourself, which is called ahankaraha. Now understand, first the knowledge, I am, is okay. And anything you added to I am is the wrong notion you have about yourself. All the notions are because of superimposition of the limitations of non-self upon the self, because of the wrong identity caused by what? Isn't it? Maya. Delusion, isn't it? Now we say, and the wrong notions. I am the body, therefore I am a mortal, and all sorts of, and I am the mind, and I am unhappy, I am sad. All the notions. I am hungry, I am thirsty, and all the notions you have about the self are wrong notions, erroneous notions. And thereby what happens? I am small. It's a very fundamental problem. I am small. I am a limited individual. I am inadequate. It's okay. I am small. I am inadequate. You know, I am a limited individual. These are all notions. These wrong notions make the thinnest ahankara. I am is a thin, slight thin ahankara. Okay, becomes what? I am body means bloated. I have problems, bloated ahankara. I am inadequate, fattest ahankara. I am small. So fatter the, you know, the most erroneous the notion you have about yourself, and the fattest ahankara you have, bloated ahankara you have. And no, understands all notions and this ahankara. So ajnana, adhyasa, adhyaropa, ahankara, and this notion results in what? No, I'm unhappy all the time. Swamiji says the tambura behind all, whichever, whenever you sing music in, you know, India, whichever is the melody you sing, there's a common shruti should be going on. Okay, tambura, no, shruti should be going on. I am unhappy, I am unhappy, I am unhappy. No. All the time, there's a continuous swaram in the whole kachina, whole concert. continuously one swaram must be there, shruti must be there. That should, like shruti, I'm unhappy is there. That you don't even know. There was no, even when they stop singing, they start a new song. Before they start also, but in end also, the thumb run, they never stop. It should go on and on and on. From the beginning till the end, it should go on. Now that this is every human mind, what now? I am unhappy, I am inadequate, I am small. That I am small, I am inadequate. That sense of being small, sense of inadequacy centered on I becomes the common human fundamental problem. Every time I come, I talk to you about this. It's not something new, but today I'm developing it along with this teaching. No, because I've all developed it easily, I can talk to you today, isn't it? In this context again. And this, what happened, this alone is the cause for the, always this notion, I am unhappy. Okay? Unhappiness is because of inadequacy. Unhappiness is because of smallness centered on I. Inadequacy, smallness centered on I is the cause for the unhappiness. Is it clear? Therefore, now we say, and this results in the common human fundamental desire. What is that desire? This is how first root cause of the desire happens. I want to be happy. If this one notion, I am inadequate, I am small, this notion, no, this the sense of inadequacy and smallness centered on I is not there, I want to be happy will not be there. I am unhappy, this notion is not there, I want to be happy, desire will not be there. I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody, that desire is a fundamental desire. Every human mind has this desire. That is why we call it common human fundamental desire. This desire, what is that which caused this desire? It is the notion. What is that notion? No? It is the notion, I am unhappy. I am unhappy, that is the notion, is because of what? The smallness and the inadequacy centered on I. I am inadequate, I am small, those because of notions. Those notions are caused by the superimposition of limitations of this media, manifesting media. And that is because of the wrong identity. That is because of erroneous self-perception. And erroneous self-perception is because of not knowing. Isn't it? Only half knowledge is there. Half knowledge is not there. Why it is not there? That is how we are born. With that knowledge also, if you are born, then avatara. You know you are. If you also know what you are, then avatara purusha. Actually speaking, one cannot be born with the knowledge. You are born a human being means, and then the very birth, human birth, is to make this knowledge complete. Because only, that is why human being alone is taught Vedanta. Otherwise, and no, we'll have big crowd. And that too, even is not for all the human beings. Only very, very few selected people, some punyam should chase you. Otherwise, you cannot really pick up interest. Really, Vedanta does not interest people. Katha Kalakshepa means you can go and sit, and nice prasadams also will be there afterwards. Every time the program ends, nice prasadams will be there. You know. But here, what do you get? Some tea biscuits, that's all. Now what I'm saying here, now what I want to say, please understand, this is how desire manifests. I want to be happy is a vritti. That vritti comes. Then there is what? Manifestation of desire means, what is that? Again, Any thought comes, that is manifestation of thought is manifestation of consciousness. Desire. And that one desire alone gives rise to what? Many other desires. Because all the desires, and desires, what do the desires do? All that the desires can do is they can impel you to act. How you become a karta? What makes you the doer? And using the physical body, using all your instruments of actions, you perform actions. And to perform actions also, before doing, how I should do, how I can get my desire fulfilled, for that you need to think that buddhi knowledge also you are blessed with. How to do the knowledge also you think before and you do it later on. So first jnana shakti is there, a power of knowing, isn't it? How to do, you have knowledge, and how to, and then you do it. The power of activity, the capacity to do also you have, and you do it. Is it clear? Then you do. So then you say, when the body is involved in activities, because mind is involved in thinking, your buddhi is involved in thinking, correcting, and then your sense organs perceive and report what is there, what all is there, then the desires keep flowing. Desires keep flowing. All the desires are what? Expressions of this one fundamental desire. I tell you, all the flow of desires will get obstructed for good if this one desire is resolved, and for which the error in your perception needs to be corrected. Understand? Otherwise, there's no way of obstructing the desire. That is why it's like, it's like where there's a strong current, there's a water. Very powerful current is there, and there's one small tube is there, and you press it. If you block that hole of that pipe, what will happen? The water will go, pushing the blockage there. Similarly, all your desires are just going out. They're coming out. You cannot undo your desires, and they keep coming, and those desires, you're just helpless. You have no help. That is why, nahi kaschitte akarmakrite kshanamapina tishtati, not even for a second one can remain without doing any action, because that's how your natural makeup is like that. That's why all the time all of us will be doing something or the other. That's the nature of the matter also. Understand? So physically, we are very active. Something or other we will be doing, because the needs and the desires, first biological needs and the emotional needs. We have emotional needs and the biological needs. They are all the natural. All the natural needs always become the desires, and desires impel, desires rise, and you are not creating the desires again. See? Diseases are part of you. They all form the whole individual here. You keep on doing and thinking, I am an individual human being. And you become the doer. And as a performer of actions, you do so much. And what is it for? Ultimately, to become an enjoyer of whatever you do and achieve. Isn't it? You work very hard and buy a house, and do you want to leave it for somebody? No. You want to go and live and enjoy it, isn't it? Which means then you enjoy it also. So perform, and then what all you want? Wife, stri, anna, pana, adi. These three words stand for all that I want, I want, I want, I want, I want this, I want this, I want this. All that, what, nothing wrong. It is very natural. What all you want, and you want to accumulate, acquire by doing actions. Once you acquire, you enjoy it also. It starts, but always we think of man first. So, stri, it said, for women, we should say purusha. Isn't it? Man also. So all this, we want all these things because all this possession of these things make me feel secure, and also I also enjoy the pleasure of having them. Is it clear now? So stri annapanadi videhi bhogehi, enjoying all these things. No, this jivaha, this is how atma gets the state, becomes, attains the status of being the jivaha. Actually, atma is not the jiva, but there's no jiva other than atma. Is it clear? Then bhogehi enjoys. Then when the waking state, it goes through and being endowed with this threefold bodies and this jiva, this atma, atma alone as jiva, okay, having the status of jiva, and with all these things, what now? Now it goes through this and has some satisfaction of enjoying these objects of pleasures in the waking state. And while enjoying these objects, while experiencing the waking state objects, while enjoying this waking state, going through the waking state experiences, this atma also has what now? As jiva, you know, collects, stores all the information and also records the experiences. And all the record information goes to the, are called vasanaha. No, mental impressions, subtlest, the dormant latent thoughts which remain in subconscious mind. Mind itself is subtle. If I talk about subconscious means, you can just understand it is there. Okay, this is the waking state experience of a jiva. So we'll see tomorrow. I'm going to, tomorrow I come back, and don't think, before I go, definitely I'll finish the text. Because mainly, I didn't want to really, I want to make it very clear. And if you have any doubts in today's class, please ask me tomorrow. And then, but I'm going to continue with it tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see the other two states and complete the jiva discussion on the jiva, the good discussion on Ishvara. Then I'll tell you how to see the asipadartha. Tvampadartha. See, now we have seen tvampada. We are still seeing the tvampadartha means tvampada lakshyartha. The word tvam, if you take the tattvamasi mahavakyam, tattvam asi means thou art that, you are that Ishvara, which is an equation, isn't it? In that, you need to know the tvam means you. The word you has two meanings. One is literal word meaning. It is a simple meaning, padartha or vachyartha. It has the lakshyartha. Lakshyartha means implied meaning. So from the standpoint of the vachyartha, the word meaning, there is definitely difference between individual and the total. But from the standpoint of lakshyartha alone, there is non-difference. Implied meaning, isn't it? So this is how the analysis has to be done. This is how we are still analyzing the jivaha, the individual, the micro being. We have not completed it, isn't it? Later on, we have to analyze the macro being. We have to complete it. But this is the very important lesson I had to cover. How one, the performance starts, how the doership comes, and later on, how the enjoyership comes. How the notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these notions can come only if you are performing, and only if you have identity, and what really, how it you know, how it one is led to become the doer. Tomorrow complete this until 18 tomorrow complete. I can go fast. ஓம் பூர்ணமத் பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம்.